So cities have buildings, commercial entities have buildings, but different ownership types. So all of those different ownership types work with us as partners in the Better Buildings Challenge and the Better Climate Challenge. And that's what makes the initiative so terrific and also fosters, as you were saying, the cooperation, coordination, and networking that is what we need to accelerate the pace of adoption of energy efficiency and other decarbonization solutions, because we don't have the time to waste, and how it gets the right stakeholders at the table to make sure that we're not wasting time, that we're all trying to march together.
Hello, and welcome to this special episode of the REIT Report, part of our Building to Zero, an ongoing series on the journey the real estate industry is on to reduce emissions from the built environment to zero. I'm Jessica Long, NAREIT's SVP for Environmental Stewardship and Sustainability. And joining me today is Maria Vargas, Senior Program Advisor and Director of the Better Buildings Initiative for the U.S. Department of Energy. For our listeners who are not familiar with Maria's work, she has served as the director of the Better Buildings Initiative for over 13 years, which is a collaborative effort to increase energy efficiency among U.S. homes, commercial buildings, and industrial plants. When I was preparing to do Maria's intro for this edition, for this episode, I found on the DOE site a blog post that had meeting our clean energy champion, Maria Vargas, and I thought I couldn't have said it better myself. What it says is, Maria is a relationship expert. She knows the best way to advance climate solutions is having the public and private sectors work together. So she has made a career out of forging these partnerships with the U.S. Department of Energy. We're so happy she's done so, and we're so happy to have you here today. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you so much for having me, Jessica.
I'm such a fan of the program. One of my earliest experiences in leading sustainability in real estate is getting approval to participate in the Better Buildings Challenge back in 2010. Can you share a little bit about the Better Buildings Initiative and the Better Buildings Challenge 15 years later?
Of course. So when I had been working for EPA for about 25 years, and then in 2011 had the opportunity to come over to DOE and work on a complementary program that really served, and we were hoping to serve as a platform to drive and accelerate the adoption of energy efficiency and other decarbonization solutions at the Department of Energy. What we recognize is we spend about $200 billion a year to run our buildings, our commercial buildings in this country. We spend on average about another $2 billion on our industrial facilities. And we know on average 20 to 30% of that energy is wasted. And through the Better Buildings Initiative, we set up a challenge to leading organizations that became known as the Better Buildings Challenge, Better Plants Challenge, if you're an industrial organization, to set an aggressive portfolio-wide goal to advance energy efficiency, but then also to share how you were able to overcome some of the common barriers. And speaking of barriers, that's really how we built the Better Buildings platform broadly, but then also the Better Buildings Challenge. We knew that there were a number of barriers that kept coming up in our conversations with organizations as they were looking to do energy efficiency. One was not buy-in from the senior levels of the organization. The advances in energy efficiency weren't being done at a portfolio-wide level. Workforce was an issue, getting the right information and unbiased information on technologies and opportunities to pursue. All were barriers we heard. So when we set up the Better Buildings Challenge, we set it up to address all of those barriers and to help organizations who were willing to commit at a portfolio-wide level to drive greater energy efficiency.
Yeah, and I think that was really unique at the time to have something that was helping building owners think about their portfolio as a whole. I think when you think back to where we were in 2009, 2010, we were pretty far along in talking about things like LEED and Energy Star at the building level. But the idea that all a portfolio of buildings would be aggregated together and you would be asked to measure emissions and energy efficiency at that level was still fairly novel. So I think that we've come such a long way, and it's still important to have that balance because we have barriers and challenges at the building level that remain, as well as this idea of rolling things up and achieving portfolio level emissions reductions. As you think about where we are today, How do those two pieces still come into it? And how does this kind of, how has this morphed now into the Better Climate Challenge?
So well said, Jessica. Thank you. That's exactly right. And part of the work we're doing in, and we've been doing in the Better Buildings Challenge, which as you see, as we'll talk about in a minute, has evolved into the Better Climate Challenge, is the opportunity to work with leading organizations across the U.S. economy. So our plan, it was never to work with everyone. It was really a focus on the leadership model of change. How can we work with leading organizations who are willing to commit to a public goal at a portfolio-wide level, and then work with us to understand the success they were having, the solutions they were seeing, and the places that remain challenging for them. And our role at DOE was not only to convene partners to exchange that kind of information, but to help accelerate the work being done by partners and helping them overcome the barriers. And so, you know, in the Better Buildings and Better Plans Challenge, we work with now over 400 organizations at a portfolio-wide level. The program has saved over $18 billion since it started and saved lots of water and certainly greenhouse gas emissions as well. And so a number of years ago, recognizing the willingness of organizations to not only lead, not only set a goal, but really critically help us understand how they were overcoming barriers that were standing in the way of either at a building level or at a portfolio-wide level, opportunities to energy efficiency, those solutions, those projects, those showcase examples provided such a robust opportunity for leaders to share and for others across the U.S. economy to learn from what leaders are doing that many of our organizations and many of the partners we work with became very vocal in their desire for DOE to begin to work with them, not only on energy efficiency, but the rest of the decarbonization chain. So about 5 or 6 years ago, we stood up something called a low carbon pilot. We had about 60 organizations work with us to understand if we were to set up a portfolio-wide challenge to organizations, how that would best help those organizations meet that goal. And then in 2021, we launched the Better Climate Challenge. And the Better Climate Challenge has much of the same DNA. We took what was working in the Better Buildings Challenge and have evolved it to focus and help organizations on their greenhouse gas emission reduction goals. What I will tell you is that many organizations have greenhouse gas reduction goals. What I will also tell you is the place that we really need work and partnership on now is real-world action and real-world pathways to get to those greenhouse gas reduction goals. So the Better Climate Challenge asks organizations to set at least a portfolio-wide goal of at least 50% greenhouse gas reduction, scope one and scope two, and to share with us actions and pathways that they're pursuing in the buildings and plants and homes that they control now. Because we're asking for organizations to work with us in the next 10 years to accelerate their greenhouse gas decarbonization journeys and to share with us what's working. The last really important point about the Better Climate Challenge is those organizations which have stepped up have not only stepped up to a portfolio-wide goal, but they're also helping us understand where they're getting stuck. And it's that feedback from the market that is so critical for DOE. The learning that we are getting from our partners who are working to decarbonize, because remember, when you talk about pathways to decarbonization, they're going to be different across the U.S. economy. They're going to be different given the kind of building you have, where you're located, how you use energy. There are going to be many different pathways to decarbonize. And so the opportunity to hear from partners across the economy and across the country how they're decarbonizing, where it's working, and where they're meeting the biggest challenges is important to DOE because we're using that as the opportunity for us to invest in solving those problems.
I can't say enough how amazing it is for us to, as the real estate industry, to have a partner like DOE in this challenge because of the ability and the scale to gather up this information and package it up and put it back out there completely free to U.S. businesses that are looking to understand where how to get on that pathway, get ahead of some of those challenges. Again, by the leaders working with you and putting that out there, that makes such a difference. And I think one of the words that you said so many times was pathway. And I think it's so important as we talk about carbon reduction goals, looking out 10 years, 20 years in some cases, to really talk about those short-term milestones, the actions, and ultimately the pathway to how to lay out the pathway, how to measure and report on progress against that pathway, and make sure that kind of within your organization and externally with stakeholders, specifically investors and tenants and other groups that are highly connected to a building owner's path to net zero, is really what those steps are and what that looks like. So in a world where real estate is very much quarterly reporting on earnings, annual budgets, maybe looking out 3 to 5 years for a capital plan or 5 to 7 years for a capital plan. But beyond that is outside of the realm of a typical real estate business plan. And so just by putting things out there that help real estate owners think in that long-term pathway mindset really helps move the market towards that way of thinking and normalizing talking about real estate in a longer term scenario.
Perfect. That's exactly right. I'm what Jessica said. I totally agree with you.
I know that there are resources, some of the case studies that you mentioned that are coming out. What are some of the other things that DOE has? We know there was a recently launched blueprint, which a lot of folks are sending me. Did you see this? Did you hear about this? So I'm really excited to understand how that blueprint continues that momentum to help folks get on a pathway to net zero.
I'm going to take that question and answer with two important buckets of information. So one is, what are the resources and information that DOE has that help partners, whether you're working with us or not? So let's talk about that first. And then I really do want to talk to Blueprint to decarbonize buildings. So in the first category, I think if listeners took away one thing, they would remember the words Better Building Solution Center. It is the website that we put all of our resources, put all of the sharing that partners have been so terrific to do with us, and everything is available and you can search for the challenge you're facing within your own organization. Anything from I can't get my employees engaged to how do I finance this to what technology is right given my climate zone. So all sorts of opportunities there. I think one of the other things that's very exciting about the Better Climate Challenge has been our focus on this new partnership and using working groups to convene quickly on topics that are of interest and of particular challenge to organizations working with us. One of the first working groups that we convened was one, and we had about 60 different partners work with us on how to think through a framework to do this at a portfolio-wide level. There is now a resource that's available on the Better Building Solution Center that is an emission reduction planning framework. And the feedback we're getting from partners and non-partners alike on the value of this tool has been just terrific. So I encourage, again, you don't have to be a partner to avail yourself of these resources. It's that kind of partners working with DOE experts at the national labs, coming together, understanding a problem, and then developing resource to address that problem, and then moving on to our next topic. So I would just encourage, those are the kinds of resources that I encourage folks to take advantage of. It's also the kind of opportunity as a partner to be part of those working groups. We just launched 3 new working groups, one on refrigerants, one on decarbonizing campuses, which is, of course, an opportunity for organizations like higher ed and healthcare and others where campus electrification or decarbonization is something top of mind. And then the third working group we just launched was on how to think through financing this and different ways to analyze the cost and benefit associated with decarbonization. We can talk about resources for the entire podcast, but it's just a glimpse into the sort of the kind of resources that partners can avail themselves of, which is in addition to the technical expertise that each partner has as part of the Better Climate Challenge. So lots of resources, lots of opportunities, lots of learning, and you can learn what real organizations are doing as they embark and continue successfully down this path to decarbonize. But Jessica, I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about the National Blueprint for the Building Sector. In DOE launched this National Blueprint at the Better Building Summit, and it really defines and sets us on a path to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from U.S. buildings 65% by 2035 and 90% by 2050. And what is so terrific is that the work we've been doing under the Better Buildings Initiative was so instrumental in thinking through this blueprint, what was possible, what was achievable, and what is aspirational, that partners should feel very good about their role in helping not only form this blueprint, but we're looking forward to working with many as we continue to have conversations with partners and other key stakeholders like NAREIT and others around the economy to sort of make sure that we're all on the same path and that we're able to be successful, not only in saving each organization money and making sure they're successful, but really ensuring that the U.S. is on an economically competitive pathway as we look to decarbonize.
I'm really excited to see how that evolves over time and continues to bring together the discussion, which sometimes people can go into their corners and say, okay, buildings have to do this, or tenants have to do this, and utilities have to do this, and everybody's on their own path. And so making sure, again, we're all together on that same trajectory, looking out into the future towards the same goals. And I feel like that's a really great feature of the Better Buildings Initiative. It's not just building owners. You have a lot of different industry stakeholders, a lot of different sectors of the economy, as you mentioned, as well as utilities and groups like tenant groups, so owner occupiers, commercial tenants, commercial building owners, utilities, all coming together, and cities and jurisdictions. What is some of the ways that the Better Buildings Initiative is working with those groups separately, but then also bringing them together collaboratively to think about decarbonization of the built environment as a collective objective?
Great question. So it's interesting, right? Because there are so many different kinds of organizations that own, run, operate, and manage buildings. So cities have buildings, commercial entities have buildings, but different ownership types. So all of those different ownership types work with us as partners in the Better Buildings Challenge and the Better Climate Challenge. And that's what makes the initiative so terrific, and also fosters, as you were saying, the cooperation, coordination, and networking that is what we need to accelerate the pace of adoption of energy efficiency and other decarbonization solutions, because we don't have the time to waste, and how it gets the right stakeholders at the table to make sure that we're not wasting time, that we're all trying to march together. That's one of the most special things about the work we do, whether it's in the Better Buildings Challenge or in the Better Climate Challenge, is the breadth of organizations that work with us. It is everyone from cities and state governments to schools to hospitals to hotels to manufacturers, large and small, public and private organizations. It's really the commitment to greater efficiency and decarbonizing that is what unites us, and the willingness to share what they're doing so that we can all accelerate on the pathway to not only more competitive, viable, and resilient organizations, but to a stronger, not only U.S. economy, but environment as well.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And you mentioned earlier, one of the first pieces that you put out was around the costs and benefits. And I feel like a lot of times when we're talking about energy efficiency and decarbonization, we talk about the costs, but we don't always talk about the benefits, and we don't always have them quantified. I think energy efficiency is almost the easy part because you do have a quantifiable savings. That's pretty straightforward. But as we move into decarbonization and we think about transition risk, it becomes much more complicated in trying to really quantify what is the benefit of making these improvements and making these investments in low carbon buildings.
I think that's right. I think the other thing that's really important, and I'm just going to riff off something you said, is the importance of energy efficiency. So one of the things that we've made, not only is it important, it's embedded and baked in into the Better Climate Challenge, but allows those who've been working with us for over a decade on better buildings and better plants, it allows them to continue down this path at an accelerated rate, is the focus on efficiency. One of the things that we worry about here at DOE is organizations jumping right away to thinking about the energy and how they're powering their buildings. So it's really important. We'll never get to where we want to be as a country to decarbonize if we don't take advantage of all of the savings and reduction of waste that energy efficiency provides. So I think that's one really important thing to remember, is that energy efficiency really is the fulcrum on which this all then pivots, because we want to make sure we get rid of the waste and then are providing energy to those buildings given the understanding of what those buildings really require in terms of energy use, and that's going to be the right path to decarbonize, is to make sure we understand the needs that we have and then how to supply energy to those buildings resiliently and without waste.
And I think one of the things as the real estate community we recognize is that one individual building owner can only control so much, but collectively having an understanding of how much energy is available, what is the appropriate benchmark for good, better, best in energy use. And then really, again, thinking about a lot of what folks are talking about a lot, we talk about scope 3 emissions and understanding the connection between the building and the end users of the energy. And it's, we say buildings use energy, but really people and the activity in the building is using the energy. And so really making sure that the collaboration is across all of society and understanding that when you plug in to a plug in a building, that's going a direct connection into the ecosystem that is contributing emissions and part of the climate discussion. And we talk a lot of in real estate, especially, that buildings are here to stay. The activities that we do, live, work, play, dine, shop, all of the things that a robust real estate and a robust economy thrives on requires energy. And we recognize that. And so there's some people that think, oh, you know, if you're talking about net zero buildings and decarbonization, you're talking about not using energy, but we're not. We're talking about using energy efficiently. And really, so much of the work that's been done with DOE and EPA especially has helped us understand and benchmark what is energy efficient for a building in a particular size, type, occupancy, climate zone, all the things that go into and impact how a building uses energy. And as you said, and then look at the sources of energy. And that's where the real collaboration comes into play to understand who are we working with and who are we partnering with to influence the amount of renewable energy, how that energy is being made available to the building and the building occupants. So it's an interesting time ahead as we look out. I think you said 65% by 2035 in the blueprint. So we're looking at the next 10 years of really dramatic change in how buildings are powered and how energy is used by everyday people that are the occupants of the building.
That's exactly right.
The Better Buildings Summit just wrapped up earlier this month. Any key takeaways that you want to share about that event, one of the more popular events with real estate, sustainability professionals, and really a great opportunity for folks to see what you guys are working on and connect?
We were very thrilled with the 2024 Better Buildings, Better Plants Summit that we just held 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C. It is our annual event in which DOE really convenes the party, but the party is really the partners getting to talk to each other. And so we have not only workshops and building tours that happen on the first day, but then we have 2 days of meetings in which organizations can meet on over 50 different topic areas and 50 different sessions and meet with their peers, competitors, maybe organizations they never cross paths with, but have similar challenges or opportunities that they're seeing. And it's really our opportunity to provide the platform for partners to really talk to themselves. And this year we sold out. So I'm encouraging folks, as you see sort of information come out about the 2025 summit, I don't have a date for, but it will be in the spring of 2025. Please do register early so that we can make sure we get you in. It's really the opportunity, again, for partners to not only talk to themselves, but then we do hold a couple sessions where we ask folks from the national labs who are working on key technologies and can share with the audience sort of the next things coming out, as well as we do feature at the plenary some of the sort of key folks in Washington who are able to talk about political and policy things coming down the pike. We also use the summit to launch new initiatives. And so in addition to the blueprint, the other one that I just want to share with you is we launched a new accelerator. It's one of the tools we use in the Better Buildings platform to identify a problem and then look to convene the right stakeholders to solve the problem. The problem that we were trying to solve with the commercial heat pump accelerator is recognizing we spend about 40% of a building's energy use on space conditioning, there are lots of opportunities to use heat pumps, particularly in buildings. Many of our owners have buildings that use rooftop units. And so it's how do we bring the manufacturers, which we did. We have all the manufacturers working with us, as well as a number of end users who are going to be sitting at the table with the manufacturers to describe the technologies and the needs that they have. As you were saying, Jessica, because a building is designed to do something. End users are very key in the discussion to make sure that their space conditioning needs are met by the new technology. We're really looking to work to have new rooftop units that work with heat pumps by 2027. We're excited about that accelerator. Not all building types can avail themselves, but a lot can. And so we're really looking to make those discussions happen as part of this commercial heat pump accelerator.
Oh, that's so exciting and ties right into a previous episode that we had on our Building to Zero series here, talking about electrification with Ben Myers from BXP, and he's a real proponent of heat pumps and really the steps that need to be taken, again, as a perfect example of the incremental steps that are needed so that an individual building owner does not have to take on that challenge on their own. It's being addressed. They have the research and the backup to make an informed decision about how to invest in HVAC improvements and decarbonization of their buildings. I love it. I think that's maybe a perfect way to wrap things up. Really just so happy to have you here today to have DOE and Better Buildings Initiative as a partner for the real estate industry on this journey towards decarbonization.
Well, thank you guys for being such wonderful partners and leaders since the beginning. So we really appreciate your partnership and your leadership in the market. And thanks for having us here today.
Thank you. If you enjoyed this discussion and you're interested in learning more about REIT sustainability, check out nareit.com/sustainability, where we highlight the REIT industry's effort to create value and drive long-term investment in sustainability in the built environment. If you want to hear more about what's happening across the REIT industry, you can subscribe to the REIT Report or leave a review wherever you access your podcasts.